We saw just the fact that Israel has no more sacrifices since 2,000 years. So this leads to a question. Did God reject Israel as his people? But we learn from Romans 11 verse 1, written in 57 AD by Paul, I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And Paul explains in Romans 9-11, the Jewish people is not rejected by God, but is just put on the waiting bench for a certain time. But then will play again a most central role in God's salvation history. So, the question raises, but what was the meaning of Messiah and Messiah's death 2,000 years ago? So, we can learn this lesson already by reading the Isaiah scroll, written around 700 BC. In Isaiah 53 verse 10, the prophet says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So Isaiah speaks in this chapter about the servant of the Lord. And you can read in every rabbinical Bible. And you open Isaiah 52 verse 13, where the section of Isaiah 53 begins with the servant of the Lord. And then look just beside the Hebrew text, the Targum, the translation in Aramaic, which says the same than the Hebrew text, behold my servant, and then introduces the word Meshicha, the Messiah. So in every rabbinical Bible, ask the rabbi, please give me your Bible, and he will give you Mikraot Gedolot, and you can show, here, it's written, this is Messiah. So it was clear in Judaism since antiquity that Isaiah 53 is speaking about Messiah. Messiah who would die as an offering for sin. So already in the Old Testament period it was clear all these offerings in the temple are just a type of the death of Messiah who one day will come to die for our sins. As God has foretold it, Adonai Yireh, the Lord will provide. Genesis 22. And let's read Isaiah 53 verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So the text explains that the death of Messiah was just salvation by substitution. He died in our place in order to bring the unrighteous ones back to God. And when people, for example, secular people would say, maybe Isaiah 53 is not a true prophecy, but was written just after the coming of Christ, and you can tell them, you know, by the finds in Qumran, 1947, a full Isaiah scroll has been found from the 2nd century BC. And Isaiah 53 is fully contained therein. And by the way, it is such in this scroll that a new column begins exactly with a sentence of Isaiah 52 verse 13. Hine avdi, behold my servant. It doesn't begin with Isaiah 53, verse 1, but 52, verse 13, where the section about the servant of the Lord begins. That's really wonderful. And when you will see the Isaiah scroll, maybe in Jerusalem, in the shrine of the book, so count the 16th column from the end back, and you find just this. And I read through all the verses in the scroll. Every verse is present. So it's clearly true prophecy. Now, Jesus Christ raised from the dead on the third day, and he was seen by hundreds of eyewitnesses. And then he gave to his disciples the order of world mission, Acts 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So a program in four stages to bring the good news of the suffering Messiah to the whole world. And by the way, in the same time the Jewish people should be scattered from one end of the world to the other end. Where are the end of the world? Very easy. We learned that Jerusalem is the center at the junction of the three continents. So the end or the ends of the earth are always those parts of the continents that are the farthest away from Jerusalem. So, Tierra del Fuego, in the south of South America. This is one end of the world. Up to China, Japan, and Thailand, the Philippines, and Northern America with Alaska, Canada, the United States, up to New Zealand, Tasmania, Australia. These are the ends of the world. And from Sweden, Norway, in the north of Europe, down to South Africa. And everywhere the Jews had been scattered. But at the same time of this scattering of 2,000 years, the good news of the suffering Messiah has brought to all the ends of the world. It's most wonderful to see this. So the gospel entered already in the first century Europe, but also was spread in Asia at the same time and in Africa. Today, there are gospel messages on CDs in more than 6,000 languages and dialects. And the Bible, total or partial, has been translated into more than 3,000 languages. And over a century, literally millions of people were deliberately converted to Jesus Christ. And they understood Jesus Christ is the Messiah for Israel and all the Gentile people. And he, according to Isaiah 53, died for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous ones. And so, on all the continents of the world, people understood the meaning of the suffering Messiah and his death. At the same time, the Jewish people was longing after Zion. And in Psalm 137, by the way, a psalm that was always important throughout 2,000 years in connection with daily prayer at the table. There we read, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. So, stop to work. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. So you see, Jerusalem should always be the most important thing of joy for a Jew. And it's interesting, in the Quran, you don't find even one time the mention of Jerusalem. Or in Arabic it would be Al-Quds. Not one time. But today UNESCO explains us that the Moriah, this is a most important sanctuary of Islam and doesn't mention the Jewish link to the Temple Mount. It's incredible. But not one time in the Quran. But in the Bible, Jerusalem has to be the highest joy. So always during 2000 years, it was a problem when people get married. Because this is such a day of joy. And so it's a danger that marriage could be a higher joy than Jerusalem. So it is normal up to today to take a glass during the wedding day and to throw it down to the earth, to destroy the glass, remembering the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Never forget this.